Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I like a good heist movie. Movies like Ocean's 11, The Sting, Kelly's Heroes. Movies like these are fun to watch as a group of con artists work to pull off some sort of scam. The crew cleverly puts together an elaborate plan to gain some sort of treasure. We root for this team as they consider all the obstacles, react to problems, and finally walk off with a bunch of gold or millions of dollars or a high-value painting. They did it. They pulled off the perfect crime. While these movies are fun to watch, when you think about it, it's kind of strange, a bit odd, that the good guys in these movies are actually bad guys. Villains are heroes. And they're con artists, after all. They plot and scheme, lie and deceive, steal and take. These are all bad things. In the real world, we don't normally cheer on robbers, burglars, and thieves. Rather, we cheer when people like these are caught and punished. So it's kind of funny that we like or commend these kind of characters in fictional stories. It's a bit of a strange twist from how we normally look at the world. And so we have a similar twist when we read Jesus' words in today's gospel reading. The parable Jesus tells his disciples here has been called the parable of the dishonest manager or the parable of the unjust steward. It's certainly a confusing story. When we read this parable, on the surface level anyway, it seems like Jesus is commending the actions of a con artist. What in the world is going on here? Why would Jesus praise the actions of this unreliable and dishonest manager? The manager's actions really go against much of what Jesus teaches elsewhere in the Gospels. So what's going on here? To understand what Jesus is teaching his disciples, what he's teaching us through this parable, we need to dive below a surface level reading of this text. So we have a manager or a steward whose master is going to fire him for incompetence. The manager was apparently wasting his master's property, and he now needs to provide an account for his management. The manager sees the writing on the wall and knows he's about to lose his job because of his reckless management. So while he still has time, he quickly puts together a plan, a scheme that will ensure he's taken care of once he's unemployed. He calls his master's debtors one at a time and significantly reduces their debts. These debtors will certainly be grateful for this generosity and will happily care for the manager once he's out of a job. So the shady manager continues in his shady manner to look out for himself and scams his master out of even more to get himself out of this predicament. And what's more, upon discovering this scheme, the master actually commends the manager for his shrewdness, for his clever plan to take care of himself. Jesus then follows the parable with several statements regarding shrewdness and wealth. So there's the parable, a short and confusing story. It's certainly a difficult parable to understand. In fact, many authors have called this parable the most puzzling of Jesus' parables. And Christians throughout the centuries have interpreted this text in many different ways. So, a big thank you to Pastor Troy for handing this one off to the new guy. And to get back, just so you all know, today is Pastor Troy's birthday. So make sure you all pass your birthday. But if we are to grasp what Jesus is getting at, a helpful place to begin with is remembering that this story is indeed a parable. And by their very nature, parables require that they be read at two different levels. There's the literal reading of the parable, but there's also the symbolic reading. We could read this parable only at face value, But with such a literal reading of the text, we could conclude that we ought to use our boss's property however we see fit to benefit ourselves. Obviously, this is not what Jesus intends us to walk away with from this parable. We are, after all, commanded to love our neighbors, and the seventh commandment forbids us from taking anything that doesn't belong to us. And so this story, and since this story is a parable, we need to dig deeper for its symbolic reading. Regarding this specific parable, Martin Luther said, "Let us not fall into the error of imagining that everything in the story is significant. If we did, we would be encouraged to go about cheating our masters as the steward did. No, the point to fasten on is the cleverness of the steward who saw his own advantage and so well and wisely achieved it." Luther, therefore, latches on to the manager's cleverness. The manager's shrewdness is the focal point of this parable. Jesus himself highlights this in verse 8 of our text, where he says, "The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." Jesus, therefore, wants his disciples to consider the place of shrewdness in the life of discipleship. How shrewdness is displayed in this parable, that is, through dishonesty and a scam, is essentially beside the point. Jesus told this story to teach about shrewd stewardship of our possessions. It's shrewdness in general that Jesus is commending. So what exactly is shrewdness, and why does Jesus commend it? I think part of my own personal hang-up with this particular parable is the word shrewd. In my mind, I tend to think of shrewdness as a negative attribute. I associate shrewdness with fictional characters like Ebenezer Scrooge or Long John Silver. Both of these villains were certainly shrewd in their own ways, but in bad ways. But being shrewd isn't necessarily a bad or negative quality. The adjective shrewd is defined as having or showing sharp powers of judgment. I looked at a thesaurus and included these words as synonyms for shrewd: astute, sharp-witted, smart, acute, intelligent, clever, canny, perceptive, wise, and savvy. So the quality of shrewdness entails wisdom and the ability to use it cleverly. Jesus then wants his disciples to be wise, intelligent, shrewd people. And in this parable, Jesus specifically wants us to be shrewd regarding our possessions. Verses 8 and 9 are the punchline. "The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." Jesus is essentially pointing out that the world has its own way of being shrewd. The sons of the world have a way of being shrewd. The dishonest manager in the parable is a prime example. Christians, however, the sons of light, are shrewd in different ways. Christians are shrewd in ways that serve their neighbors rather than themselves. Christians particularly use their possessions in creative ways that serve others. Christians find clever ways to leverage the things of the world, unrighteous wealth, to share God's kingdom with others, to bring other people into God's kingdom. You see, the Christian life is a life of stewardship. And there will come a day when Jesus calls us to give an account of our lives. God has made us stewards in this world, and we will need to give an account of our stewardship. Our possessions really aren't ours, but God's. And he's entrusted them to our care. Will we use our possessions selfishly for our own gain, or will we graciously share our wealth, however big or small it is, with others? And stewardship actually goes well beyond our money and possessions. As Jesus' disciples, we're called to steward every aspect of our lives. We're called to be stewards with our wealth, property, intelligence, education, work, our house, the neighborhood we live in, our likes and interests, our talents, our leisure and play, vacations, athleticism, retirement, investments, our health, our sexuality, relationships, marriage, family, kids, friends, the books we read, the movies we watch, the video games we play, our Instagram and Twitter accounts, the art and music we create, our church family, our faith. It's all been entrusted to us from God. God wants us to be shrewd stewards of everything we have. We're even called to be shrewd managers of the crosses we bear, the hurts and pains we receive in life. How will we steward our illnesses? How will we steward those damaged relationships? How will we steward the love and forgiveness we have received from Christ with those whom we find it difficult to love and forgive? Is Christ really Lord in every area of our lives? Will we be shrewd, or will we be reckless with what we have in this life? So what does this look like? When I think of Christians exercising shrewd management, I think of people who would rather die in the Roman Colosseum than denounce their faith in Christ, giving a public witness to the God they trusted in. I think of the Amish community in Pennsylvania who in 2006 publicly forgave the gunman who brutally murdered 5 of their little daughters the very day they died, and then attended the gunman's funeral and cared for his family. This community utilized their hurt for reconciliation rather than hatred. I think of a pastor I know in Missouri whose body is riddled with cancer and is no longer able to care for his congregation. But he leverages his own sickness to encourage and minister to the medical personnel and other patients he encounters. I think of a homebound member of this congregation at St. John who has dementia and rarely leaves her home, but spends her days knitting together winter caps that she gives to hundreds of children throughout Indianapolis. For the Christian, then, the shrewd management of what we have of our lives can take on many creative forms, some pretty extreme, others more mundane. I began this message by mentioning heist movies that I enjoy. These movies are memorable because a group of con artists pull off a ridiculous caper, an uncanny scam. While working on this sermon, it occurred to me that God is the ultimate con artist. God has hatched the ultimate scam to steal you back from the clutches of sin, death, and the devil. And the entire Bible is God's plot, his plan to retrieve his prize, you. All of God's scheming paid off because when he sent his son into the world, no one recognized what was happening. People thought by putting Jesus to death that they would stop his plans, but it was actually through his death and then his resurrection that Jesus successfully pulled off his heist and robbed sin, death, and the devil of their victory. Through defeat, Jesus has won. Through death, Christ has given you life. And through the scandal of the cross, Jesus shrewdly pulled off the greatest heist in history. He's claimed you as his prize, a prize worth dying for. And because Christ has claimed us, he's invited us to be his partners in crime, his fellow con artists in this fallen world. He's made us a part of his plan to steal back others from the power of sin, death, and the devil. This is in part why God has called us to be faithful stewards of all that he's given us. We're called to be shrewd managers of all that we have because God uses our shrewdness to reclaim creation, to reclaim other people as his own. What we do today How we manage what's been entrusted to us has eternal implications. This is the excitement of the Christian life, the joyful daring that we are privileged to participate in. We, as shrewd stewards in this world, get to help God continue to pull off the greatest heist in history. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our shrewd Lord. Amen.